Harper Audio presents Marley and Me, written and read by John Grogan. Preface: The Perfect Dog. In the summer of 1967, when I was 10 years old, my father caved in to my persistent pleas and took me to get my own dog. Together, we drove in the family station wagon far into the Michigan countryside, to a farm run by a rough-hewn woman and her ancient mother. The farm produced just one commodity: dogs. Dogs of every imaginable size and shape and age and temperament. They had only two things in common. Each was a mongrel of unknown and indistinct ancestry, and each was free to a good home. We were at a mutt ranch. I immediately raced to the puppy cage. "You want to pick one that's not timid," my father coached. "Try rattling the cage and see which ones aren't afraid." I grabbed the chain-link gate and yanked on it with a loud clang. The dozen or so puppies reeled backward, collapsing on top of one another in a squiggling heap of fur. Just one remained. He was gold with a white blaze on his chest, and he charged the gate, yapping fearlessly. He jumped up and excitedly licked my fingers through the fencing. It was love at first sight. I brought him home in a cardboard box and named him Sean. He was one of those dogs that give dogs a good name. He effortlessly mastered every command I taught him and was naturally well-behaved. I could drop a crust on the floor and he would not touch it until I gave the okay. He came when I called him and stayed when I told him to. We could leave him alone in the house, confident he wouldn't have an accident or disturb a thing. He walked beside me without a leash. Perhaps best of all, I trained him to pull me through the neighborhood dog sled style as I sat on my bicycle, making me the hands-down envy of my friends. Never once did he lead me into hazard. He was with me when I smoked my first cigarette, and my last, and when I kissed my first girl. He was right there beside me in the front seat when I snuck out my older brother's Corvair for my first joyride. Born with the curse of uncertain lineage, he was one of the tens of thousands of unwanted dogs in America. Yet by some stroke of almost providential good fortune, he became wanted. He came into my life and I into his, and in the process, he gave me the childhood every kid deserves. The love affair lasted 14 years, and by the time he died, I was no longer the little boy who had brought him home on that summer day. I was a man out of college and working across the state in my first real job. My parents, by then retired, called to break the bad news to me. My mother would later tell me, "In 50 years of marriage, I've only seen your father cry twice. The first time was when we lost Mary Ann, my sister who was stillborn. The second time was the day Sean died." Saint Sean of my childhood. He was a perfect dog. At least that's how I will always remember him. It was Sean who set the standard by which I would judge all other dogs to come. Chapter 1. And Puppy Makes 3. We were young, we were in love, we were rollicking in those sublime early days of marriage when life seemed about as good as life can get. We could not leave well enough alone. And so on a January evening in 1991, my wife of 15 months and I ate a quick dinner together and headed off to answer a classified ad in the Palm Beach Post. Why we were doing this, I wasn't quite sure. A few weeks earlier, I had awoken just after dawn to find Jenny sitting in her bathrobe at the glass table on the screen porch of our little bungalow, bent over the newspaper with a pen in her hand. There was nothing unusual about the scene. Not only was the Palm Beach Post our local paper, it was also the source of half our household income. We were a two-newspaper couple. Jenny worked as a feature writer in the Post Accent.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?